Hi, and welcome to our first inaugural edition of the Budcast. I'm Buddy Brannon, and this is the Budcast. All right, so I know I've been threatening to do a podcast of some sort for a long time, and I have been on a couple of Shane Jackson's Blind World blog and podcast podcasts. He hasn't done one in a while. He's been a bit busy, I suspect. So, guess now is as good a time as any to do a podcast. And no idea what we're going to do them about. I've got a couple of recordings that I could post that I probably will post. One is of me and my wife Melanie and our daughter Alina going bowling. One is of me and Alina going to a dog show, where we didn't actually get into the dog show part of the dog show to see the judging and all that stuff. We were having way too much fun in the exhibit area. I think Alina pet about half a million dogs there. But anyway, those will be upcoming. I expect we'll do some of those sort of sound seeing tours. We'll do some interesting gadgets, at least what I think will be interesting gadgets, and that's what this first one's going to be, is an interesting gadget. Interesting gadget cast. So, let's see. Just in case you don't know me, and I can't imagine how that would be, since I'm sure both of my listeners know exactly who I am, my name's Buddy Brannon. I'm in Erie, Pennsylvania, and married to Melanie. We've been married for, it'll be 9 years on the 17th of this month, March. We've been together for 12, and we have a daughter, Alina. Alina is now 9. She'll be 10 in April, and we adopted her in 2004 from Ukraine, and this child has been through, you want to talk about a kid that's been through it, she's been through it. And I really admire her a lot for everything she's gone through. We'll introduce her on here one of these times. We have cat, we have two dogs. One is my retired guide dog, Chet. The other is our Cairn Terrier, Fiona. And then our cat, Phoebe. And I say we live here in Erie, Pennsylvania, and by day I'm a technical support and customer service guy for Serotech. Serotech, which is a adaptive technology company. We make system access screen reader, and of course also sponsor the system access mobile network. You can find out about them at www.samobile.net. And beyond that, I'm a technology guy. I love technology. I think technology is just wonderful, fun stuff. But being a fan of technology, I also recognize that technology won't solve and can't solve all of our problems. And I bear in mind its limitations. But that said, as I said, I'm a technology fan, have been forever and ever and ever. I'm an active, well, sort of active ham radio operator, and I expect ham radio equipment will show up in the podcast. In fact, I think I'd really like to do one on these couple of Soviet military Morse code keys that I have one time. Just because, well, they're kind of interesting. But anyway, ham radio, yes, I do voice over IP on ham radio. I do, you know, that modern stuff, some of it. That's about the only place where computers touch my ham radio is in the provision of voice over IP services through Asterisk and Echolink and stuff. We'll talk about that sometime. But I like old-fashioned ham radio. If I could one of these times, I'd really like to set up a vintage station with old tube-type gear, running AM and code. Boy, that would be fun. I'd really love to do that. I don't know if I ever will, but I'd sure like to. Anyway, definite fan of the Morse code, which makes me strange, but been doing that for 22 years. Been on the internet for, it'll be 19 years closer to the end of this year, and I've been playing with computers longer than that, in one form or another, going through school and so forth. So yeah, technology's good. We like it. Right now I'm recording this on my Mac. I've got a MacBook Pro. Got my Blue Snowball microphone connected to it. And I've got an iPhone in my pocket. Maybe we'll talk about that. We've had a few podcasts about the iPhone, though, so maybe not. Maybe not. There are plenty of podcasts about the iPhone, but we'll see. And then I've got a couple of Windows PCs, got a netbook, I've got a 64-bit Windows box upstairs. I've got a box running Linux for the Asterisk ham radio gateway, and I've got another one that I want to put straight Asterisk telephone switch on and play with VoIP telephony. Maybe we'll talk about that sometime. Wow, I've got so many things that we maybe could talk about. So y'all can tell me what would be of interest. And fair warning, I probably won't edit this much because I just won't. I think editing's kind of boring and takes out some of the spontaneity. So I probably won't edit much. Okay, so today, what sort of prompted this whole thing was this gadget that I got in the mail here, and there have been one or two podcasts on it, notably one at Accessible Devices. And I think there may have been another as well. But it was something that was announced in September or October of last year by a company called Orbit Research, who I had never heard of before. Although I had heard of their product, which was their product they had before this came out was called the Orion Scientific Talking Calculator, which was a modified TI scientific calculator, modified with speech output. And I've heard of that, but I'd never seen one, never connected the name of the company to it. Anyway, back September, October, they announced this gadget, and it was pretty exciting. Not because it was the first of its kind, but because it was the cheapest of its kind. I'm talking about the iBill. And the iBill is a talking U.S. currency identifier. And yeah, there have been U.S. currency identifiers out before, but they've been big, relatively big anyway. I think there was one that actually required AC power, didn't run on batteries at all. And the least expensive one that I knew about was around $300. Well, Orbit Research came out with the iBill, and people really stood up and paid attention when they said, well, we came out with this gadget. It'll fit in your pocket. It'll run on one AAA battery, and it'll cost $99. And there's something magic about about the $100 price tag. Just something magic about that number, $100. If you can sell something and sell it below $100, there's something magic about that, and I don't know what it is. But if you can break that $100 price barrier, you can bet that most people who are going to buy something are probably going to buy it. We're talking about electronics. I mean, Of course, you know, I think there's another barrier at $50, and there's another one probably around 20, but $100 is the big one. And I don't have any sort of scientific data to back this up, but it seems to me that it's true. And hey, this is my show, so no, but nobody says that we have to have actual verifiable fact here right now, especially for this. But there's this magic thing about $100, and Orbit Research cracked it. Well, you can imagine that it was pretty exciting, but then, of course, we were all a little afraid that it was going to be vaporware because their phones lit up, I'm sure, and people were asking about it, and we didn't hear anything. Then we heard, oh, it'll be available starting in December, and there was a delay here and a delay there, here a delay everywhere, a delay everywhere, a delay, and they finally posted something that said, well, we're going to take pre-orders, and when we're ready, we'll start calling people. Well, I called back the day after or 2 days after I first heard about this thing coming out, and I left my name and phone number on the answering machine, and then I never heard anything else. And I thought, well, other people, this Carla has called back. She hasn't called me back. Maybe my name got lost in the shuffle. I guess I'll worry about it when it gets closer to actually being ready, and then I'll order it. Well, beginning of last week, that would have been Tuesday the 28, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 23rd of February, I got a call, and it was Orbit Research, and they said, "Hey, we're gonna ship these iBill currency identifiers out. Do you still want one?" I said, "Heck yeah, I still want one." So I gave them my credit card number, and they said it'll ship out by the end of the week. You'll get it sometime next week. Well, exactly a week later, on this past Tuesday the 2nd, no, make that, yeah, make that, yeah, Tuesday the 2nd of March, there it was sitting on my doorstep. So we're talking about 6 months between, 5 or 6 months anyway, between announcement and shipping. Now, I'm sure that there are people who got theirs before me, but I don't expect that there were a lot that went out a lot sooner than mine. So, this is probably one of the first reviews of this thing here, apart from the official company rep doing his. So, what's this thing look like? It's small, very small. It's very unassuming. Weighs pretty near nothing. I think probably the heaviest part about it might be the AAA battery. You know, like it's light. It's just a couple ounces, maybe. Hey, there's the clock. Yes, woodpecker o'clock. Yes. Okay. Very light, and it feels very sturdy. It's made out of very sturdy plastic, and very simple controls. It has a button on either end. One on the left, one on the right. Presumably, that's so that it can be used as easily left-handed as right-handed. It's the width, slightly wider than the width of a dollar bill. Maybe what? A quarter of an inch total. Maybe an eighth of an inch on either side, or 3/16 of an inch on either side of the slot, wider than a dollar bill. And it's about half that in depth, front to back. And maybe a half an inch thick. The Official guy said it's about the size of a pager, and I guess that's about right. It's about that size. There are two things immediately that I would have liked to have seen on it. One quite a bit more than the other. What I would really like to have seen and think it would have been a lot better, and it's a simple thing, is a lanyard hook, so you could, you know, hook it to a strap, you know, so you could like a wrist strap or something like that, so you could more easily keep track of it. It's a little too big to put on a keychain, probably. It's certainly bigger than, say, your remote control thing for your car, you know, to turn your alarm off and that sort of thing. But it's big. It's small enough to put in your pocket, though. And a strap would probably be a good thing. The other thing, which would be nice but certainly not so necessary, and I'll get to that in a minute, is a headphone jack for an earplug. But as I say, that's not really as necessary due to some of the features that that this has that I'll talk about in just a second. Okay, so like the all the advertising stuff said, it runs on one single AAA battery. The AAA battery is already installed when you take it out of the box. And actually, they packed this thing really nicely. They put it in a box with the manual and the warranty card, and they put a little, one of those little tiny 3-inch CDs, which has both the manual in audio form so you can play it on your CD player, as well as in PDF and text form. PDF and text. These are those little tiny CDs, you know, that not the regular size ones, but the tiny ones that you cannot put in your Macintosh because it will not be, you know, the slot loading CD drives don't do well with those. So I don't recommend that you put one of those in your Mac. But it comes with that, with the manual on that, and also in print. And like I say, it comes with the battery already installed, which is nice. You can take it out of the box and use it immediately. And the use is very straightforward. In fact, like I say, since this doesn't have an earphone jack, I won't be able to give you great audio. It'll be like the holding the thing in front of the microphone so you'll hear it, okay? So by default, it's set at a medium volume level, and it's set to announce a bill by voice. In other words, it'll tell you 1, 5, 1, 2, 5, 10, 20, 50, or 100. There are two other modes for it, and I'll show you those as well, which you set by holding down one of the buttons on one end while pressing the other at the other end. And you can do this one-handed. It's small enough you can do this one-handed. So I have here a 10, a 20, and a 5. And the 5 is a bit chewed up. In fact, it was taped together, so I can only put it in one direction. So we'll... why don't we try this thing out? So basically what you do with this thing is you take the bill short ways, like the width of the bill, and you put it in to the, you make sure all the corners are straight, and you stick it in the eye bill, like stick it in the slot in the front. It's pretty obvious where the slot is. And then you just simply press the button. Either button at either end will work. And it'll make a little tone, and then it'll, well, here's what it does.
Five.
There you go. He said 5. It went beep, like that it was recognizing the bill. And then it said 5. Now, if you don't have a bill in there, or if you can't, let's say I put this bill in. Let's fold down, fold the piece of tape over, put the bill in. bill must have come from a taxi. It's in really bad shape. Anyway, so I got the bill in the other way where it's all taped together and kind of ratty and pretty horrible. Same $5 bill. Oh, wow, it recognized it. That's unbelievable. I had this piece of tape folded over it to make sure that it fit in. It still recognized it. That's amazing. I didn't think it would. In fact, the last time I did it, it did not. Wow. Now, if I flip it over, though, I wonder if it'll... Oh, I sure did. Okay. Well, if your bill is in particularly bad shape, let's just bend a corner and stick it in. Bend a corner and stick it in, because the manual stresses to be sure that the corners aren't bent. Let's see if we can do this. All right.
Five.
Oh, still recognized it. Wow, that's fantastic. Okay, well, if you don't have a bill in there, or if there's something really, really wrong with the bill and it's terribly, terribly mangled, it will say error.
Error.
Like that. So we got the five. I've got another bill here. This one's in a lot better shape than that five was. And we got one more. Unfortunately, I don't have any ones right at the moment, but, or twos for that matter, and forget about the 50s and hundreds. All right, so, now, that's how it comes by default. So, it has a couple of other modes too, and of course one of them is vibrate, and that doesn't play well on a podcast. So we're going to go through the modes here. So you change the modes by holding down the one button while you press, and then press the other one while the first button's held down, so you use both buttons. Okay, so it's got three volume levels for the voice mode, which you just heard. It was on the lowest. I put it up to the highest. And then after that, it vibrates, and it'll vibrate. And it's got a fairly decent vibration. It's enough. I don't know if it would be enough if you were sitting in the back of a truck or something that was on a really bad dirt road, but should be enough for most things. So you got the vibration, and then you got a low-high beep. That means that it's in tone mode. So let's try out tone mode and so you can see what that is like. If you get an error, it makes a sound like that, which means there's no bill, or the bill that you've got in is particularly mangled. So we got something in there now. Which it didn't recognize. Recognized that five. It was all torn up and everything, but didn't recognize this one. Wonder why. We'll try it again. Two high-pitched beeps. That means it's a 10. No, wait. That means it's a 20. That's right. That means it's a 20. And we can confirm that because I've got the same bill in. There, it's a 20. Okay, so two high-pitched beeps means 20. So I got this other bill, and we'll try it. One low-pitched beep is a 1, two low-pitched beeps is a 2. three lower pitched beeps is a 5. Now, by low, that low is a fairly relative term, as you'll see, but let's see what this does. One high pitched beep, that means it's a 10. And finally, my wonderful $5 bill. God only knows what somebody did to this poor thing. Three low-pitched beeps. And like I said, that's low is fairly relative, because I wouldn't really call that low, although it's low compared to the other. And it'll has different tones or what have you for a low battery. Now, the one nice thing about this is that there's also a vibration mode, which, of course, is completely... You can't do a thing with it on a podcast, but let me tell you about it, because it's great for you, for our deafblind brothers and sisters, because it doesn't make any sound, and it's also great if you want to be discreet, okay? It'll vibrate in your hand, and it'll do one short vibration for a 1, 2 for a 2, 3 for a 5, and then, what is it, I think it's one long vibration for a 10. Oops, oh, there's my 10. Well, we'll find out here in a second. I think it's one long vibration for a 10, 2 for a 20, 3 for a 50, and short long for a 100, which I'll never have to worry about. Okay, so we're on vibrate mode, and it does a big old long bzzz in your hand with an error. Okay, so I'm going to stick this 10 in. And it's one long pulse, one long vibration for a 10. And like the error is like a really, really long pulse. So... All right, so it's pretty simple in operation. It took me all of just a couple of minutes to learn how to use it. And like I say, it's pretty simple. It identifies bills generally within about a second, maybe two. But I want to talk about use of this thing for a second. Like I said, I've had it less than a week, and I've only gotten to use it in actual practice a couple of times. But I really want to talk about sort of where it falls in our sort of use of technology versus alternative techniques, or perhaps you can say that technology as an additional alternative technique in your arsenal, if you will. I still plan on, and for years I've had a system, my own little system of folding money, as most of us do, and if you don't and you're blind, you probably should. Like I have my 1s, I don't fold at all. My 5s, I fold in half the short ways. 10s, I fold in half short ways and then long ways. 20s, I fold in half long ways. 50s, I fold in half long ways and then short ways. And 100s, I don't get those, so I haven't worried about what I'm going to do with them. Hardly ever get 50s come to that. But anyway, there you are. My system in 15 seconds. Well, it's so darn fast just to do that that I'm going to continue to do it. I mean, like, it doesn't make sense to just throw your bills in and every time you need something to pull out your whole wad and put each one in the money identifier. And in that case, really, technology is a help, but it won't solve a complete. It won't be and can't be a complete solution. Certainly not an efficient solution in all cases. However, In the case where you think that you might have a less than reliable cash transaction, you can always pull it out and spot check your bills. Or let's say you're in a hurry and you don't get a chance to go through and fold your money. You can go back later with this with the iBill, go through all of your money, organize it, and then you're done. You don't have to involve somebody else in doing that for you, which is fantastic. Would I have bought one of these? Were it more expensive? No. And in fact, I didn't. I didn't buy a currency identifier, mostly because I didn't think that they were worth the money that they were being charged, or that they weren't worth the money that was being charged for them. If you're in a retail business, like if you're a vendor, for example, or if you're in some other sort of retail venture, I would definitely understand that a talking currency identifier at any price would be an invaluable tool, if for no other reason than because you don't want people cheating you. But just for your average blind consumer, no. But like I said, there's something magic about the $100 price point, and when this thing went below 100, I thought, well, you know, I think that would probably be a worthwhile thing. So I bought one, and I'm happy I did. Like I say, it's not any trouble to carry. Doesn't take up any room to speak of in my pocket. And like I say, I'm pretty happy with it. It seems to be well built. Of course, you can't really say after only a week, but it seems to be well built, sturdy. And I hope to have quite a long time of use out of it. If it died tomorrow, would I be upset? Yeah, I'd be upset because, you know, then I'd be out $100. But would it be a showstopper? No, not really. Wouldn't really be a showstopper, but having it is convenient. I think it will be convenient. Even though I do a lot of my transactions with the debit card these days, and don't use a lot of cash, it's still convenient. Hi, Fiona. Hey, there's Alina. Hey, Alina. Say hello, Alina. This is Alina. I'm making a podcast, Alina. Do you want to make a podcast? You don't need a phone.
I will. You can make a podcast for me so that I can talk.
Well, I'm making one right now.
Okay.
I'm making one right now.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So tell us all about it.
What?
I don't know.
Yay. Who are you talking to?
I'm making a podcast. So we're talking to lots and lots of people. We don't know who.
Hey, Papa.
Yeah. Yeah, so here's Alina, and that's pretty much it for the iBill. So until next time, we'll see y'all next time.
What was that? That noise.
Thanks for tuning into the Budcast. Appreciate you coming by. Hope to see you again next time. Please send all comments, suggestions, or ideas to buddy@brannan.name. That's buddy@brannan.name. Our theme music generously provided by Those Who Dig. Visit their website at www.thosewhodig.com. And look out for their new CD, Little Bitty Barley House, coming out on March the 13th. Thanks for coming by. See you again next time.